And I feel like that's the issue. What's going on in the world today is that people are buying into perceived power rather than what is the true power. And the true power is that God's light lives within each and every one of us. Hello, welcome to Lunar Living.
We are two sisters sharing our journey of life and motherhood. Join us as we explore our spiritual roots, tuning in with our bodies and the pulse of nature's intelligence.
Let's get real with it as we laugh, cry, and grow through this life together. We are your co-hosts, Sarai Irie
and Jordan Ariel.
Hello, Lunar Loves. You are back for another episode of Lunar Living.
We are here with our families, and our men are over here hanging out too.
With the babies, we are 5 beers in.
And the fathers of men!
Yeah. All of our babies are boys. Maybe that will change. We do not know.
Someday.
What if we all...
Oh, okay. My husband just said we won't stop until it changes. About us having all boys. And then now he's trying to blame it on me. He's saying it's not him, it's what I
Jordan,
want.
Jordan, is this true? Are you going to not stop until you have a girl? This is my question of the evening.
You know... I don't know about that. I guess it depends.
Only time will tell. Okay, Alex and I have one boy. And last month when I got my period, I was mildly disappointed. Mildly to mediocrely disappointed. I was kind of disappointed is what I'm trying to say. Because I was hoping that we would get our little girly. Even though, like, not everything situationally permitted for that, it just felt like I got excited.
Oh my gosh, Sarai, I didn't even tell you this. It's so crazy.
Okay, what happened?
Well, I was thinking, like, that I might be pregnant for a little while, but I started my period, so I know that I am not.
Right.
But also I freak out like all the time. I actually bought a giant pack of pregnancy tests on Amazon.
How many? I'm like, I know who to hit up when I'm panicking as well.
I think it had like 50 in it.
Okay. Lifetime supply.
Not for me, because every month I'm like, oh, let me check and just make sure. But
so you guys, after you have twins, you might be like, fuck, am I pregnant? Nah. But then we'll accept it as like, a graceful blessing.
Right? I mean, well, and that's the thing. I was like, no. And really, realistically, we've been so careful and there was no reason why I should be. But I think that I'm just slightly terrified.
Right.
You know?
Understandably so. Like, it took me going through years of having... an actual baby. No, but like really after I went through the thresholds of birth, and I honestly, I know it's hard for anyone who hasn't had a baby to get it, but maybe if you have had a baby you get it, like where I'm like, we got through like that part where it was like super hard and I went through the threshold. And then I came back around and was like, okay, I guess if this happened, it wouldn't be horrible. And then I've come to a point where I'm like, actually, like, I kind of, like, want to go through that again. Like,
yeah,
that was beautiful and sacred. And I always knew it was beautiful and sacred. But right after you go through it, it's a little bit like, okay, give me some space from that experience so I can process it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not as to say that it's not a beautiful experience. Like, I literally devoutly, like put up the idea of natural birth because I believe in it so much. And this is a testimony to its power at the same time. But I felt like I needed some space from that experience until I was ready to go through it again. And now I feel like if I go through it again, I'll be like ready for it, you know?
Okay, so I took a pregnancy test and it was negative. And then the next day I was like, oh my gosh, maybe it was too early and I actually am pregnant. But then I went through a thing where I was like, I'm just going to sit with it.
Girl, that's what happened to me too. And then when I actually got my period, I was like, oh. But I was like, phew.
That's
but
so
I was also
crazy that we had the same experience at the same time, basically.
It was the same cycle. It was
same cycle. But yeah, I mean, like, I'm like on the, I've been on my cycle for like 4 days now. I started like day, it was like not on the full moon, but it was like 2 day waxing gibbous, you know?
Okay, yes.
Yeah, so I mean, waning gibbous.
To put it simply, I was on the approaching of the full moon. So we're about a week apart in our cycle.
Oh, but we're both like pretty close to full moon girlies. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, we are. And I've heard all of these things about like what that means or whatever, but I find my own meaning in it every time. Like, if it's a new moon, I'm like, okay, this is a very reflective time for me. If it's a full moon, I'm like, damn, I'm amped up. And maybe because it was leading up to the full moon was why, also, like, what played into me being, like, excited about it. Because to me, after being through everything that I've been through and becoming a mother, I'm like, there is no more sacred or expansive gift than motherhood. From what
it's
I've
it's true. No, I was like ready for it again, but I think that for me, I'm so like just the idea of like multiples again is really it's a possibility. Like, it's a big possibility because we have it on both sides. Like, he has it on his side, I have it on my side, and like I, you know, and you're my sister, so you also have this.
Honestly,
I don't mean to scare you, but
no,
like,
no,
it's, you know, it's on our mom's side and our dad's side. And so that's something that's like, ooh, you know, it just, I'm like, okay, you know, so twins are about 1% of all pregnancies or multiples. Multiples in general are about 1% of all pregnancies, and they're generally twins. But I'm like, okay, but for me, it's more than a 1% chance.
Right.
You
and
know?
Also, though, I just have to say that even though it's more than a 1% chance, it's a rare chance. Like, to me, it's like you kind of almost already got it out of the way.
Okay, but I've also heard that after you have multiples once, it's more likely that it could happen again.
Okay, if you buy into that narrative, sure.
And then also, I mean, on one hand, I'm like terrified about that. And on the other hand, like there is a little part of me that's like, well, maybe that would be amazing. Like maybe right. that's like God's will. But right. as like a super like natural birth advocate and person who wants to have a home birth and wants to have that experience, like I really feel like, and I feel like I deserve that. And some people might not understand. I feel like a lot of people don't understand.
Well, but it's, I didn't understand at all, because a little bit about my story with my pregnancy and my birth is that like I completely was like, yeah, if I did have a baby, it would be in a hospital and I would try to not do an epidural. But oftentimes when you're that person, you end up getting an epidural because it's very easy. Like when I was in labor, there were points where I was like, if I was in a fucking hospital right now, like just, you know, get me through this. But then I got to like the extreme initiatory period, which is, it's called transition. And it's like the hardest point, right? And I felt like I was losing myself, but I had my community around me. And that's a point that I want to make. It's very important to have a community around you of strong people who remind you of who you are. Because when you're so in the ether of birth and you are so out there and away from, I mean, it's, you're so in your physical, but you're also the farthest from your physical that you've ever been. And so you need these people to call you back. And there was like a moment where I was just so animalistic in my birth. And my mom grabbed me by both hands gently but sternly and was like, hey, come back. You're in control right now. Come back. Look at me in the eyes. And I was like, I can't. And she was like, look at me in the eyes. You can do this. And I was like, okay, yes. And I did. And I had a banner in my birthing room written by all of my closest friends and sisters that just had little phrases on it. And some of them just said strong or brave. And some of them were quotes. And I found use for each of the different note cards in different points in my labor.
And being there was really cool too at your birth, because they were up by like these little clothespins, and sometimes they would get knocked down. And actually one of the midwives was like, oh, well, every time one of them falls down, it's probably the one that's needed in that moment.
Oh my gosh. I love that. I love that. And I'm so grateful that you were my doula, even though you weren't like my technically hired doula, like you were my doula through that moment. And my mother was there, and you guys were there to even help Alex through that, because we both weren't, it's not like we were well seasoned and had watched a bunch of videos about what to do or anything. I feel like a lot of people who go through birth aren't, you know, studying about it the same way that they would be to pass an exam. But really, it's the same like level of study that kind of goes into it to give yourself the tools to be able to pass the exam. Yeah, it's stressful. Oh my gosh, my pencil broke. What am I gonna do? Bring a pencil sharpener with you, you know? Yeah. Or maybe your friend next to you that you're like, we're gonna sit next to each other, has a pencil sharpener. You know, it's like little things like that, and it comes together. But the biggest element of it all is like fully being in a surrendered trust. Mm-hmm. And it's not in a surrendered to what everyone else is saying around you. Because the people around me were people that I trusted with my heart and soul. Like any single person around me, I was like, would take a bullet for me, and I would take a bullet for them.
You had such a well-curated birth team, and that's something that's different, you know, and that's something that is special about a home birth or birth center birth that you can do, is you can curate your birth team. And, you know, whatever, like, it's, I'm not saying that to, like, cast shade anywhere else. Like, it's just, like, people birth the way that they want to. Some people feel more comfortable being around people who have degrees and training in the scientific method. And other people feel more comfortable being around people who, some of them have that, and some of them have, you know, more of a holistic and also like an integral knowledge about things that are just about life and about spirituality. And, you know, and also some people choose to do it completely on their own without a birth professional there. Right. Some people just do it on their own, and I respect every different way of doing it. And I have been through birth twice, and you know, one of them was like a semi-medical situation, because it was a, you know, a birth center with midwives, so they're medical professionals, and we did, you know, the tests, the blood tests, right, and the, you know, the Doppler and all that stuff. And then my second birth was very medicalized because of some complications and ended up being like a C-section fully in the hospital, NICU, la, 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 all that time. But it's funny because with that birth, I was listening constantly to Free Birth Society podcast. And like, shout out Free Birth Society podcast. If any of you guys are interested at all who are out there listening right now, like, check out Free Birth Society if you want to listen to something that's a little bit fringe or very, I mean, they literally call themselves a radical group.
Right.
They are. And it's like so, it is so interesting though. My mind was blown by listening to, I listened to, you know, probably over 200 episodes, like, wow, in the course of my pregnancy. Like, I was listening to it all the time. So, and every single episode is an account of a woman who did it on her own.
Wow, and that's super empowering. Also, like, what I had and what really brought me up was because I wasn't like that. Like, I really wasn't like, oh, I want to listen to... When I listened to Free Birth Society... When I was pregnant with JMO 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I was like, oh my gosh, this is a lot for me. Like, and I felt like beautiful for them, but they were like, and then I was giving birth and I was screaming, but then I had to remember to trust my husband and all this stuff. And I just was not there. I wasn't married. And Alex was still my guy and I love him, but like, our birth story made us deeper together. But what I really leaned on was like a more mainstream podcast, which was called Chatty Broads. And it's about these girls and they talk every week. Actually, the podcast has ended, but it was so great. They're just so funny. And they would talk every week about The Bachelor. But then they also had their birth story episodes. And an acquaintance I bumped into randomly at the beach was like, hey, I love that you're trying to go the natural route. And I was like, honestly, like, if you have any resources, help me out. And she literally has no kids, but she was just like, I'm fascinated by birth. And so she sent me that and it felt really cool. And it was like this, these girls actually, both of them had their babies naturally, but one of them was in the hospital and one of them did home births. And the one who was in the hospital really like knew her resources and stuff and was like, okay, I can ask the hospital for a peanut ball, which is like a yoga ball, but it's you can roll around on it better.
Yeah, no, a peanut ball is like, it's a different shape.
Yeah, and it looks like a peanut.
Yeah, you can like put it between your legs and it helps for like during contractions. It's like a, it's a different positional facilitation than a yoga ball provides.
Right. And I listened to this and the girl who had her baby in hospital was like at the very end during transition, which is the hardest part. She did get an epidural, but she was like, it actually didn't kick in until after the baby was born. So she pretty much had a natural birth. Mm-hmm. And so I heard these stories and it felt more like warm and like akin to what I could handle. And the reason why I chose to do it in the birth center with Jameson was because I wanted to have medical professionals there to help me out. And there's a point with JMO where they were like, you need to be laying on your right side. And I was on my left side the whole time. They were like, the left side's open. You need to lay on the right side to open it up. And I'm really grateful that they were there to help me and give me that advice. Because in the Free Birth Society thing, they're like, I trust my body the whole way. And I'm like, if I did trust my body the whole way, then I would not have fucking gone on my right side. Because it was so, so, so painful, but also that was the extra pain and push. I mean, it was painful because it was the threshold that was, you know, that I needed to pass through, that, like, you know, last boss that I needed to conquer to be able to bring my son Earthside.
Yeah.
And now after all of that, I can gladly say that for our next baby, I would probably, I plan to do a home birth whenever that happens. And also I do want a medical professional there for me to call. Like, I don't know. I'm like, I might have an accidental home birth. Like, my friend did that and I thought that was so cool. And she just played it off like, oh, just didn't call them in time.
Okay, I have a friend who did that too. I have a friend who did that too. And she was like, oh yeah, I accidentally had the free birth I wanted. That's what she told me. That's awesome.
That's what I want for my next baby. She just
kept waiting. And then everything went smoothly. And she was like, oopsie, had a baby. You know?
And I feel like for the first time, like now I'm going into it after everything that I went through and everything that I processed, I feel like, okay, now I could handle it and know what to expect. Yeah. Like, when I did go to the birth center, I was, like, 8.5 centimeters. So that's, like, a centimeter and a half away from being ready to go. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you're good. But there was, like, a little thing. And it was honestly a psychological thing. I know this because I experienced it and I went through it. A psychological thing where I was, like, not even ready to process the fact that I was bringing a new life into this world. I didn't have any babies, totally unplanned, with the love of my life, but we weren't married. And he was supportive, but it was just, I wasn't like, sign me up, check all the boxes, let's go. Like, I was like, fuck, holy shit, I'm gonna have to do this thing that I've been fearing to do my whole life. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big thing with women too. They're like, how am I going to squeeze a freaking watermelon out of this? Mm-hmm. And honestly, ladies, I got to tell you, my husband tells me that it feels better than it did before. So don't worry about that aspect.
Well, I can go on that for a little bit because there is this thing that has been pushed in the narrative, and it's, you know, partially because of the porn industry and just, like, you know, our society about, like, a tight pussy.
Right.
Like,
right.
You want to have a tight little pussy.
Tight little, minuscule little fucking.
Well, that's, like, what feels good. But, you know, and also, like, shout out to another podcast, you know, the Sahara Rose. What's her thing?
Okay, literally love her. Highest Self podcast. She does a really good episode on yoni mapping that actually when I listened to it, initially it was so triggering for me and so hard for me. And I talked to you, Jordan, about it. Like, maybe a couple weeks ago. And I was like, I'm still triggered by it, but I needed that to be brought back up because I was like, I'm not honoring myself and my sacred organ. Like, it's like we honor our mind, we honor our heart, but we don't honor our yoni, we don't honor our pussy. And if anything, when women masturbate, it's just like rub the clit really fast to get the job done. Sorry for the explicit episode. I guess we'll.
Yeah, all our episodes have little E on there. You know, people know that they might be getting something a little spicy. But also, like, you know, these things need to be talked about.
That's why we're talking about them.
Which is why we're talking about it. And so, you know, I'm just going to continue, though, with that. I am a yoga teacher, and I'm a prenatal yoga teacher, and in my training we had a pelvic floor therapist come and talk to us about about the pelvic floor and birth. And
what is the pelvic floor?
Okay, so
for our listeners,
yeah, the pelvic floor is the network of muscles that is at the floor of your pelvis. So it's like at the groin area, and it's actually part of the core muscles of the body, and it's all interconnected. Everything in our body obviously is interconnected, right? But the pelvic floor is like it's like a little lattice work that, you know, is around the opening of the vagina, or like with, you know, everybody has a pelvic floor. Males also have a pelvic floor. But it's the bottom part of your girdle. Most women after birth, their issue is not that they're too loose down there. In fact, what this pelvic floor therapist was telling us is that most women are too tight afterwards.
They're and closed.
They're closed up because of the trauma.
Mm. Yep.
And so, like, fuck, having things, so people think, like, oh, you're going to have a baby pass through there and then everything's going to be all loosey-goosey, and that's not the case. Actually, a lot of times people have painful sex afterwards, and it's because everything is so tight because they're, like, it seizes up. I would recommend listening to Sahara Rose's yoni mapping episode. She doesn't have kids, and she hasn't been through birth, and so she's not coming from that perspective. She's just coming from like a, you know, a female pre-children perspective. But as a woman who has had babies, I learned from that episode.
I did as well, and also as you're talking about this right now, I feel like, in my core, like you said, it's related to the core muscles in my lower core. I feel like, and it's not obviously not still bruised, but I feel like this bruising that I'm aware of, mm-hmm, that happened. And I think that's why, like earlier I had mentioned, like it took me a while to like even want to have another baby. And it was a beautiful birth and wonderful. And there's nothing about it that I would ever change. And also at the same time, my body, I think, was not in complete alignment for the delivery. And it doesn't mean that it wasn't meant to happen or blah, blah, blah. It's completely meant to happen to awaken me to realize how in touch with my body I want to be.
Yeah.
And because, yeah, like I said, like, my husband's like, everything's better than ever, blah, blah, blah. And so for like a year and a half after we had our baby, it was like amazing. And then I actually listened to the yoni mapping episode and I realized like, oh, there's some stuff going on here that like I need to heal that I just wasn't aware of. And so then I've been kind of slowly working through it. And also slowly being like, okay, where do I draw my boundaries? Because there's this big part of me. I don't know if any of you guys can relate who are listening, but there's this part of me who feels like when we are hooking up in that situation that like I have to be there to please him. And it's not because of him. It's because of a long indoctrinated system that has gone on with women. And so like when it would hurt slash will, I mean, not really so much anymore, I would be like, okay, this is just what we do, you know? And the only way that I could really enjoy was by like clitoral stimulation. But before that, I never even knew. Like the G-spot was like a whole mystery to me. Like I didn't realize that was a thing. And then we've had hookups since where I've been like super well hydrated. To be honest, I was very well hydrated, drank a lot of water beforehand. Mm-hmm. Like by whatever led to it, that I just was like very well hydrated. And then we hooked up and I had like transcendental experiences. And I was like, oh, this is what orgasm is. Like, and it's good from clitoral stimulation, but there's something that you can get where it's like, you're like, am I on mushrooms? Like, am I tripping? And it's the same type of feeling, but it's even more beautiful and important because it's like a bond with your person.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the truth. And maybe it's like just me speaking my truth and maybe it doesn't resonate, blah, 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 all the disclaimers. I fucking hate that I do disclaimers, and one day I will not. One day I will not. Sometime soon. But when you are comfortable enough with a man, then you feel like you can open. And sometimes we have these like really indoctrinated or like these belief systems that we take as truth that aren't truth. Whereas like I know I can trust my husband more than anyone else in this world to protect me, to provide for me in my sacred, sexuality. And so when we are hooking up, sometimes I have to remind myself that. And I'll remind myself something that we said in Elise's ecstatic birth episode, where she was like open in that deep voice. And I will literally like command my yoni to like open. I'm like open. And I'll tell myself like, you are safe here. You are safe here to experience pleasure. You are held. You are safe. Open. Mm-hmm. And then I'll experience something really beautiful.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I hear you on that. And I've had like similar experiences. And even, and this is even before ever listening to that podcast or whatever, that I just, you know, got into a point, because people always say like, oh, it's about surrender and la la la, like, and what I've actually done at many points is just like lean into my connection with him and be like, I pray a lot, like while
we're. Okay, but also I feel like there needs to be something to be explained, because to you and I, we get what prayer means. Mm-hmm. But to some people who are listening, they might think prayer means like kneeling by the bed and going, dear God, thank you for food. Please help my cousin not be sick. Uh-huh. So what does prayer mean for you in a sexual situation?
Mm, that's a great question. Well, so for me, it's intuitive, first of all, but also like, God is in everything, all the time, everywhere, mm-hmm. and you cannot remove or hide from God.
Especially in the most godly situation. Like, it's like when you come into that situation, which is, I mean, you can have sex for fun, sure, but when, I mean, you can't escape the fact that it's like, this is how we procreate. Right.
No, for sure. And it's like, it's actually like the moment in life where God is more present.
Right.
Than, I mean, there is whatever, like God is omnipresent and God is always there in every moment. But also there's a portal. Yeah. You're entering a portal to heaven. Mm-hmm. And
yep.
When you choose and use your free will to accept that and be open, I'm using the proverbial you here. I'm talking about my experience. When I have been invitational to the one, my creator, the creative force behind all that is, when I am in that state. And, you know, also our tradition teaches that whether or not you're creating a human baby, that every time you join in intimacy with your partner, a soul is created. And so there's like some, you know, may it be an idea or may it be, you know, some, well, something, I, something. And I'm getting like really... Right. Like,
really, esoteric,
I'm getting mystical here.
Right. Of
but course. You know what? But sex Hello? Is mystical. Sex
and
is
also,
mystical.
If you've been listening to our podcast, you know that we're always talking about mysticism.
Right.
It is mystical. And So whether that soul be a new human life or whether it be a new life for you and your partner that you have created, like, this bond in this energetic field that's new, it's always an invitation for new life.
Yes. And it's, and that's the thing, like, it's about life, and sex is life. And, you know, and that's why it needs to be honored. And that's why there needs to be boundaries around it.
Right.
And
exactly.
You know,
well, I laugh, but I mean that that laugh is in, like, a very joyful way. It's like, I feel like this whole episode, we're like, we started off with birth, but we're like, let's talk about sex.
Well, they're inextricably.
Exactly.
Connected.
And yeah. So is breastfeeding and everything. It's all part of this life cycle. Mm-hmm. And the more that we connect to this and that we detach any shame from, like, sex and birth and breastfeeding and the whole life cycle, we...
Yeah, the creation of new life. That entire process is the creation of new life. Our society is trying to be like, sex is something that is for fun.
Right.
And I mean, like, yes, it's fun. Yeah, it's fucking fun. Well,
and also to go to another point, there is, like, another extreme of it where, like, ultra religious people will be like,
of every religion.
Of every religion, literally every religion. But it will be like, sex is something to be shameful of, mm-hmm. and something you should hide. And it's like neither nor. Mm-mm. It's neither nor. And it's something truly in the middle.
Right.
And so, like, there has been a lot of process in my life of recovering who I truly am. And it's come through, you know, my relationship where I feel safe, and then also us having the baby, and then also coming through motherhood and then coming out of it. It's like I came out a completely different woman, and he came out a completely different man, because we were and have always been in it together. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's also something that I want to shout out in a big bout of gratitude for, is having a masculine man. I mean, okay, also there's something I can go on going masculine man, you know, but, like, honestly, he's just a man, and we found each other.
Right.
And your this man is what happened.
Likes to, you know, wear pink shirts and whatever. Like, right, it's right. Not like that.
Right, but he also likes to play video games. But also, my husband has never been hunting. He's not like a Joe Rogan, like, oh, I'm a masculine man. Like, there's this whole thing going on right now with, like, the divine feminine and the sacred masculine. And I appreciate it, and I think that it's valid and beautiful. But also, it's not palatable for me right now. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to say that I dislike that or that I think that it's invalid. But for me personally, I can't palate all of that right now. And neither can my husband. And so we're here in, I guess, this place that isn't all like, we haven't been to Burning Man 6 times, you know, like, we're just normal fucking people. And anyone who's been to Burning Man 6 times, you're probably a normal person too. But what I mean to say is, like, that every relationship has its path and its patterns, and that, like, we find our way. And to push anyone into any box of being how you expect them to be is completely a fallacy, and it takes away from the real experience that you're having right there and then. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably a spiritual person, and don't be discouraged by other spiritual, like, lanes that might be, like, more concentratedly focused on one thing or another. And the true meaning of it is to tune into what you know you need.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have to do what's best for you and what resonates with you. And also, I have to say it's very important in my yogic opinion.
Dude, we love your yogic opinion.
Thank you. I'm not a yogi knee or whatever, but I'm...
Bitch, you haven't been to Bali for 6 months and abandoned all of your responsibilities.
No, but just... No, I but mean, also I, much I have love to throw out. I have to throw out the little disclaimers, even though... And we're talking about whatever. It is really important to turn to the ancient sacred texts of time. And that is a really, it's one of the founding principles of yoga, because yoga is not a religion. It's non-denominational. It's a, you know, it's a spiritual practice, but it has these sutras and these founding principles. And yes, like the first yogis were Hindu, but you don't have to be Hindu to be, you know, a yoga practitioner, into yoga, whatever. Regardless, whether or not you're into yoga or you think it's a bunch of hocus pocus or hoodoo, blue doo, blah, 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 blah. I think that it's really beautiful, the foundational principles of it. And one of which I talked about last time, is Ishvara Pranidhana, surrender to a higher power. It doesn't define what that higher power is. It's just surrendering to a higher power. For me, that higher power is Hashem, God. You know, it's the one God, the same one that Christians and Muslims and Jews all pray to, the one God. And, you know, and lots of people who are like non-denominational who also are monotheistic, believing in the oneness of God. For me, that's what that is. For other people, it could be whatever. But another founding principle of yoga is to study sacred texts every day. And it doesn't define which sacred text you're supposed to study. So it could be, you know, it could be the Bhagavad Gita. It could be, for me, the Torah. It could be,
right,
for, you know, a Christian, the, you know, the New Testament. It could be for,
right,
whatever.
The Emerald Muslim Tablets.
Or, yes.
Right.
Or the Quran or whatever it is, right, for you. Or, I mean, like, not just what it is for you, but just what's calling you.
Whatever is calling you for a reason. And that's literally on standpoint.
And yeah, and I believe that. And I know there's a lot of people who would disagree with me about that. A lot of people would say, well, there's one truth, or there's the one right way to go. And I personally believe in an infinite God. I believe in a God who has different avenues to reach each of our hearts.
Yes, exactly. And each of those avenues are facets, but here's a quick hack. It's all connected to the one.
Mm-hmm.
What's above that one way that you're talking about? It's all this eternal life force. It is what has created all of life. And so, yes, in Judaism, we call it Hashem, the name. We can't say the name of the light because it's too powerful. And I never understood that when I was younger. I was kind of like, what? This sounds like folklore. But now I really get where it's like the truest and highest, most divine light that lives within me, that I'm honored to be experiencing. You know, that is what we can pray to.
Well, and I mean, even in our tradition, the name Hashem, meaning Ha, the Shem, name, the name, is what we use to refer to God in like the Hebrew language and in the Jewish tradition. the reason that we do that is because of the commandment to not take the Lord's name in vain. In vain does not mean don't use it as a curse.
It doesn't mean don't say fuck.
No.
Fuck. Just kidding.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And JK, lol.
No, it means not to use it to no effect. It means you're not supposed to use the name and have it not be working.
Mm.
You're not supposed to use it without the kavana, the intention behind it. But really, like, I mean, and that's me analyzing further. Really what it means is don't use it to no effect. Don't use it just willy-nilly in conversation. It's not supposed to be willy-nilly.
Right. Not when someone shocks you with gossip and you say OMG.
Right.
It's like, dude,
yeah, well, you can say OMG because you're not actually taking the name in vain. By using Hashem, we're removing the actual name from our regular vernacular, and we only use the actual name when we are trying to work miracles in the world.
Yeah.
It's a powerful name that we're only supposed to use in those powerful moments, and most of us don't even know how to actually even pronounce that name.
I don't know how to pronounce it, but in moments of like prayer where I feel like deeply need, I will like mutter quietly in my bed the names that I know of God, and I will say Hashem, the name, and then all of the other Hebrew names that we use in prayer, which all are pointing to the same direction. And then I will visualize in my mind the Hebrew letters that mean that name.
Mm-hmm.
And it is powerful, and I am protected for it, because like anyone who's listening, who's like maybe a little witchy, which I love you bitches or men, anyone, like you're definitely like. Like what's in The Wizard of Oz, like, I'm a good witch, you know. If you're listening to this, then you are. And like, do your thing. But really, like, this is the way that I connect. And this is like, this is the true spell. I actually once had an encounter with someone who was secular. And this was about 2 years ago. And they wanted me to sell their tarot card deck for them. And I was just kind of dipping my toe into the depths of spirituality. And I was like, okay, cool. This is awesome. I'm getting involved with this like kind of big influencer, and this opportunity is presenting itself to me, and blah, blah, blah. And then a little part in me felt like, I don't know if I want to be selling someone else's tarot deck, like when I'm a spiritual person myself and I have my own message to give. And so all these little thoughts were tossing around in my mind and in my heart. And then I was at work, and randomly, like with some other coworker, I went up and was like, yeah, you know, I just let this lady know I had an interview with her and it was really good, but I let her know that I'm not going to be able to sell her tarot decks because it just doesn't align with my beliefs. And he turned to me bewildered. He was holding his server booklet, and he turned to me bewildered, and he was like, dude, I was just writing a prayer. And he turned his book over, and I looked, and it said, Dear God, and whatever his prayer said. And I didn't read his prayer. And he was like, you should not be dabbling in these things, because it's, you know, you have your connection to God, and that's all that you need. And I was like, damn, that's really like a confirmation for what I'm doing. And then she had responded my message the next time I opened my phone. I was like on my break or something. And she was like, oh, it's so funny that you say that you can't, you know, sell my tarot cards, aka support my business, because you're Jewish and it doesn't go with your belief system. Because I've gotten a lot of my magic from Kabbalah. And I just kind of felt like, what? You know, I didn't feel like, oh, maybe I should be selling these more. I was kind of like, what are you doing, girl? Like, you know, but maybe it's her own way of working in the light and whatever. But I was like, you have no connection to this. Mm-hmm. And like many of us who do are like, be careful around that, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, because there is a lot of like people who dabble in Kabbalah but are not connected.
But I feel
to
like
the source of it are not aware that the people who practice this are also going through, like, they follow many rigorous rules to protect.
Right. And that's why, like, there have been a lot of things, like, even in pop culture talking about Kabbalah, about, like, oh, honestly, like, I've heard things about how, like, it's bad. And how, like, even people who are bad people had practiced Kabbalah and stuff like that. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy to me. And also, kind of, like, I don't doubt it because this is, like, the most ancient. I mean, maybe not the most ancient because there's also, like, Gaelic magic and there's, like, there's...
Well, Egyptian, too.
Right, like- right, exactly. Like, I learned over Passover about how the Pharaoh's magicians, like, they weren't not reading right. They weren't not making snakes come out of a corn stalk, you know, or not a corn stalk, whatever was there in Egypt. But they were doing that. But God's power is higher than that. And it's...
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is, like, us, like, people who are more religious, like, don't deny the existence of magic. It's right. just that we are like, ooh, gotta be careful
right.
around this subject and make
and
sure.
And I've had it search me out in times. Like, I went to a stone shop once before, and before I knew it, it was just like intuitive. I was like rubbing this stone on my third eye, and then I had the trippiest dream of like a gatekeeper telling me, like, are you sure you want to go down this path? And I was like, I woke up like, and I was like not terrified, but I was also like, it just felt like this eerie, like the most open and devoid energy. And I was like, ah. So I cast the stone into the sea. I went to the end of the pier and cast the stone into the sea because I was like, no, I am on a path of light and I will not be tempted by perceived power. And I feel like that's the issue. What's going on in the world today is that people are buying into perceived power rather than what is the true power. And the true power is that God's light lives within each and every one of us. And that's the oneness, and that's what Judaism speaks of, Rastafari speaks of, like, this is what it is. And so, like, yeah, we can find, like, a great binge TV show, some idol to worship for the time being, but, like, they're all just pieces. They're all just pieces there to lead us back to the truth that we're all light. Everything is all light. And so whatever some deity tells you about anything, it's like, okay, great, but also I'm connected to the light just as much as any deity is, and I can choose to be connected to God, and I can choose to change my fate. And this is the whole thing about fortunes, where it's like, don't read fortunes, because honestly it's futile. It's like almost even like reading the freaking news banter back and forth, back and forth. We're all saying the same thing back and forth to each other. It's like you never get anywhere because like you're so distracted by all of these fortunes of misery that you are distracted from the truth of love.
Or even fortunes of, you know, of great wealth or blessing even coming your way or whatever. Like, it's good, and also like acting out of a place of not knowing what the future is makes you have to be on your toes and be a good person all the time.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, everybody, you got to do what you got to do. And you do what you want to do. And it's all good for you if that's what you want to do. For me, I don't look into the future. I don't ask about the future. If you know, some omens of the future come to me, I take them with a grain of salt.
Also, though, whatever you get from a reading on the future, whether it's from yourself, your cards, or another person, are based on your energetic field at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
They're based on your trajectory at the moment. There are infinite decisions that you can make. There are infinite ways that anything could go. And that's why I said it's futile.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, then you are taking someone, pretty much someone else's word as God's word.
Well, and you're trusting someone else's connection with God more than your own connection with
God. Exactly.
And that's really what it comes down to. You're going to see a fortune teller. You're like, oh, okay, they have a better connection. They know better about my future than I do. And you're giving your power away.
Newsflash, we're all connected to God.
Everybody's a fucking fortune teller. You're a fortune teller.
Yep. You're a fortune teller. You are
a magician. You are a whatever you want to call it.
It's like, you're a psychic. Everyone's a psychic.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Listen.
But yeah, I feel like we all have inherent magic within us, or I mean, if magic isn't the word you want to use, a spirituality. We're all created in the image of God. If you want to get real biblical about it, God created the world through speech, and we're all created in God's image. So every time you speak, you are creating your reality.
And so for anyone who wants to take this on a scientific note, when you speak, you are creating a vibrational resonance in the 3D realm, and it is shifting the 3D realm by your vibrational resonance of your speech. And so we are all creating this world that we are living in, and it first happens by thought and emotion, and then it becomes physical. It grows, and it becomes physical by either our speech or our action. And this is a result of the world that we're living in. And it also has to do to tie it back to...
And it results in the world we're living in.
Exactly.
Everything that is man-made in this world, everything that exists, your clothes, your house, the art on your walls, you know, the car seat that your kids ride in, the car that you drive in, the roads, all of it are a result of an idea, a thought that was turned into action and became a physical thing.
Right, exactly. And this is a very important fact. So just quickly to explain, like, a law, and it's explained, I'm sure you can find it biblically to, like, chalk this up. But God created us in their image. So creator, source, whatever, created human beings in their image. So you know how we think about things critically. We have memory. We have the power to bring things into physicality with intention. And so in that way, we're each like mini gods, not to be like blasphemous to anyone who's feeling like that is. But so in this fact that we're able to like create our own worlds, we have free will. It's inextricably connected with the fact that we're living the lives that we are, the fact that we are the conscious beings that we are. And so if we have free will and we choose to do what we will with this free will, then God's not going to go against our free will, because it would defeat the purpose. It would defeat the purpose of consciousness experiencing itself if consciousness were to be like, I'm going to do something bad, and then higher consciousness were to be like, no, you're not. You know, it all wants to just experience itself. And so when bad things are happening in the world or even in your personal life, this is where like kind of like the manifestation people will find like their rooting. But it's like God cannot go against your free will. That's just on period. And so we're given these sacred ancient texts.
Well, it's not that God cannot, but God will not.
Right, right. Actually,
in most cases.
Mm, amen. Amen. I feel like the Hebrew people are freed from slavery based on prayer, based on their energy calling out to God enough to God to be like, I'm going to answer this energy that's coming to me. And with like the slavery movement in America and then Martin Luther King giving this big wave of love to abolish segregation, like that was another answer to a very big prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all always based in love and trust for God. And so I feel like when we want to see a revolution, it always has to be based in love and faith. And so you can't like arm wrestle someone who you think is bad into being better. You know what I mean? Like, it's like Moses didn't fucking be like, I'm strong as shit. Here's my staff. And part the seas.
Mm-hmm. It's true. He was surrendered.
Surrendered, exactly. And like you said in the last episode, that was very moving, was saying like, I am a surrendered woman. Every day I'm asking God, will you work through me for your highest good? And so that's what we must always be doing. And then it comes back onto like a smaller, I guess, like focus with women reclaiming birth.
Mm. Way to bring it full circle, Sarai.
But really it is about that. It's like, so we're scared and hopeless because birth, eek, scary. And so then this other force exists that's like, I can save you, but it's not saving you because you're not buying into trusting yourself and trusting your inherent divinity. You're buying into trusting something outside of yourself. And that's not trusting in God. That's not being made in God's image. I mean, you are nonetheless, but to trust in yourself fully, 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 then you let yourself be guided. But if there's an inkling of fear.
It's almost like trusting fully in doctors and the medical system without also tuning into your intuition is like the same as going to a fortune teller.
Exactly.
For your connection with God. Because in reality, you know, like these doctors and the medical system, like, yes, they know a lot. And yes, they are educated. And also, like, they know about the medical model and they know a lot about anatomy and they know about the drugs and they know about the hospital system. But no one in this world knows your body better than you do. You are the expert on your body. And when you outsource your power and your connection with your own body, you know, that's what you're doing. You're outsourcing instead of tuning in with yourself and with like, gosh, I just feel like if I'm going to outsource, I want to outsource to the highest power. And even though in my last birth, I did end up having a C-section, like I was in tune the whole time with my body and with God. And I was like, okay, this is what needs to happen. And I felt for me, there was like this, like, you gotta let it go. You have to let go. You have to let go and let God.
Mm.
And I did. And my babies turned out beautiful and they're okay and they're healthy and they're well. And also, it's not the only thing that matters. I have some stuff that like I'm still working through from that. And that's okay. It's part of my growth pattern. And now I can better support women who are going through that model. Mm. And it's good. And also, I still want my next home. I want my next birth to be at home. Like, I do want to have another baby. And I want the other baby to be at home. And gosh, you know, I would really love it if I could have a free birth. I really would. I would love to do it all by myself.
Also,
we'll see what happens. Yeah, I will tune in with my body and be like, maybe I need a medical professional, or I'll be like, okay, actually, I'm gonna do this.
It's not that far-fetched. And also, like, this isn't anything to like slam the medical model, because it's good that it's there for some reasons. But there
literally
is,
saved my twins' lives.
Literally.
And they had a condition that was,
it was detected via ultrasound, via you being in tune with your body and being like, something's not right.
I was
right.
in extreme constant pain. Like, it wasn't a normal pregnancy.
And so this happened. And so luckily, there was this facilitation for them to be brought into the world safely and completely unharmed. Right.
And then, and even after that, after they came home from the NICU, one of my twins had an issue where I, as the mother, with my intuition and my being tuned in, was like, something is going on here. Something is wrong. I need to take him to hospital. I did. Turned out he needed a surgery, which I was like, that makes sense with everything that was going on. He wasn't eating. There was like,
right,
he wasn't pooping, whatever. And like, so I knew.
Truly, I feel like the future is like divine balance. Like, a lot of people picture like, oh, the new world is a return to the old ways, but it's not just that. It's a return to the old ways integrated with the new ways as well, and finding a balance within that. You know, like, a woman should be empowered in the birthing process, in the pregnancy process. And there should be systems set up to empower a woman, especially if she doesn't.
She should be the main authority.
Right, exactly. Instead of someone that they're like, shush, shush. Like, I literally knew someone who went through, I've known a couple of people who've been through like really, really hard hospital births, because it's like, as soon as you give an inkling of fear, of distrust, which happens in birth, it's part of it, then the medical industry is like, let me save you. And you're like, just anything to get out of this. Mm-hmm. Luckily for my experience, when I had those moments of distrust, I had my sister, my mom, and my boyfriend at the time, literally boyfriend, to like be like, hey, you got this, you know. And then by the time I was like, y'all, give me an epidural, they were like, the baby's coming out, you know? And I was like, okay. And so, yeah, there's beauty to everything. And like, even if you went through like a hard experience where you wanted to have a natural birth and it turned out this way, it's like, it's beautiful, and your birth was beautiful, and your baby is beautiful, and you brought them into this world in the most divinely aligned way that they were meant to be here. And if you're hearing this and it's resonating with you, then maybe it's just planting a seed for something else for the future you to grow into.
Yeah. And it doesn't need to be a literal physical birth of a human baby. Like, maybe you're done having babies and you went through that experience. And maybe, you know, it's the birth of a business or an art project or whatever. Yes. It is. Oh, yeah. So about that sex topic, I just want to bring it back for a second, because I didn't get to finish saying what I was saying earlier. I didn't get to finish. So let's go back and finish. Okay.
Always got to make sure she finished. Number one, it's priority.
Very important to make sure that she finishes.
Whoop whoop, I'm there for that.
Yeah. But also on that note, you know, I've had points where, you know, I'm like with my man and I'm just like not getting there, or like not feeling it. And if you're female, you've probably faked it before, or at least just been like, you know, or something.
Come on.
You know.
Come on.
Just like, oh my gosh, yes, that was wonderful. Thank you.
In my maturity, I've been able to enjoy it fully and then not lie at the end. Enjoy it fully and then be like, I enjoyed that fully. And he's not like, did you come to validate my feelings? like it'll be like at the end and I'm just like, that was so fun for me.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that was so fun for me.
Right. You know, yeah.
Like if I came, I'm like, you changed my life.
Well, I'm right all now. About radical honesty too. I'm like, let's be completely honest. And yeah, there is, so there's like, yeah, I enjoyed that. And there's like, whatever. You know what I'm, you know.
No, I get what you're saying. And also, like, I feel like being a woman in this day and age and in this world, it's like we're breaking through a lot of barriers. And mm-hmm. so, like, you may have this experience, Jordan, or people like this, where it's like you're just like, I've always been like, it's completely this way or that way. Like, I'll tell you 100% if I came or not. And then there are people like in more of the middle ground who are elusive about it. And then I feel like I spent most of my life, like, it's not like I had never come before, but I spent so much of my life being like, wow, that was so great. I came so much. And it was like, maybe like I came like a little, you know. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm on my journey of discovering my own sexuality, I'm like, I'm finding myself to be more like, that was so much fun and I enjoyed that so much. And like, I don't need to validate my man's masculinity in a way that's like, oh my God, shoot, wow, dude, oh my gosh, that was, I can't even sleep straight. I can't even walk for days. You know, it's like kind of like, it's not like that. Like,
so like, if you can't walk for days, I mean, did it really feel that
good?
Or was it painful?
Exactly. Exactly. But also, but
because I feel like if it was really great, you should feel like you're walking taller for days.
Amen. Exactly. And you know. So that's what I am being authentic and expressing right now is like I'm going through the process, and like you have kind of always had this radical honesty with your husband, which has been what has inspired my relationship. And so now I'm going through this process with myself. It really has nothing to do with my husband, because like it was like my decision and honestly my genetic inheritance of like holding back and feeling like I didn't deserve to feel good and stuff that kept me buying into, and it wasn't fake, it was like good, but it wasn't like, I didn't know that the G-spot was real until like a year ago. I'm 27 years old. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know that until very recently.
Yeah. I mean, my capacity for pleasure has been expanded. Honestly, like, even in the past year, like, we're just growing together and learning together and listening to that Sahara Rose, you know, the Highest Self podcast. Like,
does he listen to it?
Helped. No.
Oh,
no,
you did.
Okay. I did. But also, but even before that, I was already on this path. And when you sent that to me, I was like, oh, cool. Another step to help me on this path that I'm already
so
on.
So random that I sent that to you, to be honest.
It's so, well, you sent it to me because I needed it. Because honestly, I've done some healing through it where I've been able to like release some like tension and like stuck energy and heal my like soul. You know?
Yes.
But really, I guess like the secret of my own that I am going to share with whoever really cares to listen, and it's mine. Like, I don't, nobody told me this. This is just something that's my secret. And it's like, when I am being intimate with my lover, I will just say a little prayer of, and it's a surrendering, but it's also so empowering to me because I'm with the right person. And I will just say in my head, in my prayer, I'll say, God, let me feel how he wants me to feel right now. Take me to the place he wants me to be right now.
Hmm. Wow, that's actually really powerful. But it's, I feel like it's hard for like me when I'm like so trapped in my own mind. Like the best sex I've ever had is when I was like not thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Not overthinking it. And whenever a thought that came in that seemed overthinking, I was like, shh, shh, no, we're being present.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So, that's and so too. It's like, I feel like what you're explaining is so beautiful in that present surrender, you know, because it's like the river keeps moving. You like surrender that prayer and then the river keeps moving, but you like put that out into your energetic body and it's like so received. Because
well,
I'm like,
I just have to say I've experienced like the most expansive, amazing pleasure
like from that.
From that. But also it's like he loves me. I know he loves me.
Yeah.
And I know like that's what he wants for me.
Yeah.
In those times, you know?
And so it has been another beautiful conversation with you, Jordan.
Mm-hmm. You too, Sarai. I love you. Thank you.
How many beers down are we?
Oh,
five. Four. I'm down
six. I had four. Okay, so average, we're five together.
Okay. Five beers, birth, and sex. This is the nitty-gritty topic that we're going down with tonight. And we can't wait to hear what you all think about it. And it's a lot to share. It's sometimes it's like,
super vulnerable,
so
and
vulnerable.
All the things, and so yeah, but we would love to hear your thoughts, so let us know on Instagram or in the comments and we'll chat about it later. If there's any more subjects that you want to hear more of us talking about or whatever you're feeling, we want to know your opinions. We want to know how you feel.
Hit that inbox. We
and
love
yeah,
you.
You know, subscribe, hit the little bell.
Subscribe.
Yeah. Subscribe to us on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, whatever platform you are listening on, because then, you know, it'll keep us able to produce more of these podcasts for you. We'll talk to you later. Much love. Be well. Go howl at the moon.
Howl at the moon, babies.
Ow.
Ow. Yes, yeah, like 1 or 2 weeks left of Nissan. Enjoy.
Goodbye.